In a world so vast, with many moving pieces, tune into Borderlines, where I will be in conversation with special guests from across the globe. We will unpack the truth from the propaganda, distinguish facts from perception with a clear, sharp mind. I'm your host, Ireti Bakare Yusuf. Join me on my new show, Borderlines, and let's travel the world together on topical issues of the day. Every Friday at 4 p.m. on Nigeria Info 99.3, the number one radio station. And it's a good afternoon, Lagos. Welcome again. Welcome to Borderlines, the only show that takes you beyond borders, because we discuss global issues in hard form, in bite size, and in an engaging manner. Today, it's my absolute honor. I have another special guest with me. His name is Mr. Abdullah Abu Shawe. He's the ambassador extraordinaire and the plenipotentiary. See, I had to put my teeth back in. Embassy of the State of Palestine in Abuja. In short, he's the Palestinian ambassador in Abuja, for those of you who want to write it down. Okay, he's going to be talking to me. As you all know, and if you don't know, you should know, that there's been a ceasefire. It happened on Wednesday, and as of 7 o'clock this morning, local time, that's Palestinian time, the humanitarian or the ceasefire began from 7 o'clock, and we've begun to have, you know, humanitarian trucks, etc., go into Palestine, luckily. Mr. Abdullah Abu Shawe, thank you for joining me all the way from Abuja. Are you on mute? I can't hear you. Yeah, I can't hear you. Unfortunately, I still can't hear you. I'm not sure if we're having technical issues. I do hope not. No, still can't hear you. Everything is on from our end. My technical guys are looking to make sure we're not on mute. No, I can't hear you. This is not... Oh, no. Can you check your mute button? Is your mute on? No. You have no mute? I can't hear you. Perhaps you might need to rejoin or something. Perhaps. So Lagos, as I was saying, or Nigeria rather, because I know you all joined from different parts. I must learn to say that, Nigeria. So, of course, the development since the last time, since Borderlines last Friday. Hello. It's gone. No, I was about to hear you and then something went. I don't know what's happening. Our technical guys are also having a look, sir. So hopefully if it's not muted on your end and you're sure everything is as it should be. Because you can obviously hear me, right? You can hear me, right? So hopefully something, it will all be resolved. But whilst they're sorting that out, so Lagos, there was an agreement between Hamas and Israel. Hamas was to release 50 hostages. Okay, so the ambassador just said he can hear me loud and clear. Why can't I hear him? They're looking at it. Okay. As I was saying, so the current update. So Hamas, there was a deal between Israel and Hamas, which was the intermediary was Qatar. Okay. And Qatar and Egypt. And of course, in the background was the US. Hamas agreed to release 50 hostages in exchange for 150 Palestinians who are in prison. predominantly, or should I say primarily, women and children. And I'll be talking to the ambassador about that as we get this issue resolved. Ambassador, try speaking again if I can hear you. No, I still can't hear him. I don't know what it is. Can we go on a quick break whilst they resolve this? Welcome back to Borderlines. Unfortunately, we're having some technical issues connecting with the ambassador, but we're trying, so don't worry. If all goes well, we will get an interview with His Excellency. I can see him trying to rejoin. Okay, is that... Oh, my word. No. Hello? Hello, sir. Say that again. No, we still can't. For some reason, we can't hear you. And we've actually tested the Zoom link on this side by getting somebody else to join. And we were able to hear them. So, unfortunately, I'm not quite sure. But whilst they sort that out for you, I'll just give the listeners an update. Hello? Ooh, did I hear something coming through? Yeah. No. Still no. Connecting to audio, I can see. No. Yes, almost, yes. Can you speak up a little bit louder, please?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
I'm going to use my
Right. Hello? Oops.
Do you hear me now?
Yes. Have you got two devices on? You will have to turn one off because there is an echo.
What about now?
Better. Now I just can't see your face, but I can hear you.
No,
I need to see your face.
Do you see my face?
Yes, please.
Yes, do you see my face?
No, no, not yet. Not yet.
What about this?
No, not yet. It's a black screen.
This is the problem. I'm still facing a lot of problematic issue, but I'm trying.
That's technology, sir. It has a way of doing what it wants to do at the wrong time. But we'll start the conversation whilst you're doing that. Is that all right?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's, since we don't, we have time issues now. I know that as of 7 a.m. this morning, the ceasefire began. Okay. What update can you give us as of this time? Because that's quite a few hours ago. Also, as of 4 o'clock our time, Hamas began to release the hostages to Israel, and there's supposed to be an exchange. Can you give us an update?
You asked me, thank you so much, of course, for hosting me, but you are asking about two very important and important issue for the Palestinian people. First and foremost, of course, the ceasefire, as you rightly mentioned it, but we should not tackle this issue from only the general and the macro level. We need to talk about more about the ceasefire and how did the Palestinians see the ceasefire. Unfortunately, it's the truce or the ceasefire going to take only 4 days. I'm not pretty sure whether in those 4 days we will be able to bury our loved one whom we are already lost to them. To collect the bodies, which is completely, but many of it is started to decomposed in the streets. Thousands of bodies started to decompose in the streets to bury them and necessary respect to say goodbye to them at least. We need also in this truce to make sure that the remaining parts of our homes, especially in the north and the middle Gaza, who we lost it, more than 2,600 Palestinians still lost it till this moment. We need to make sure that at least whom is dead, whom is still alive, whom is still breathing under the rubble and need some help, we can save him. This is the point. I would like all of you in the media and here in Nigeria to stress on those very important and very human issue. Don't tackle the issue, please. Don't tackle the issues just from the macro level or the statistical level or mathematical level. I mean, how many trucks of AIDS, humanitarian AIDS is enter, how many trucks is still shortage and all of this stuff. There is a human life, 14,000 or more than 14,000.
If I may interrupt you, sir, we will be talking about that. It's just that right now we have reports coming in, and it will be important for the people to know, because one of the things that has been important is the human, as you said, and how, because Gaza has been starved of so many, many important facilities. So if you could just give us a quick update on that. My next question was going to be about the four-day ceasefire.
It's not many facilities. Gaza is starving for everything. Everything without any exceptions. So that it's very important. Gaza under the siege since 2007. Gaza under this aggression of not this Gaza slaughtered since 48 days till now in a party slaughtering party, open slaughtering party show that everybody's at least is watching and on his screens, so that Gaza is short of everything. Just one thing that we are not short of it, which is the hope for the peace, of course, the hope for tomorrow. This is very important. Regarding the issue of the humanitarian issue, it's very important for from our perspective, from my personal perspective, because again, if we're gonna tackle this issue from a mathematical issue and to count how many injury, to count many trucks we needed, this means that you are took off the humanitarian sense from this issue, and we start thinking like, why is the Western country, unfortunately, who's counting just numbering, which means that nothing by the end of the day, the majority of the Western country political leaders, after they counting this number, which for them mean nothing by the end of the day, because we are Palestinian, of course, is going to their bed. Business as usual, snoring in their bed, and that's it. So that, again, when I mentioned that we need to tackle this issue from the pure perspective, of pure human perspective,
absolutely,
I mean it as a representative of the Palestinian people here in the Bay Area.
Absolutely. We've got a minute to go to break, because unfortunately, because of the technical issues we're having. But one of the things I do want to talk about when we come back from break is the fact that practically half of Gaza has been flattened. You talked about the families of the dead. I'd like to talk about the embargo that Israel has put on those who were pushed to the south from being able to come to the north to bury their dead, to look at their homes and see what they can save, right? I'd like us to talk about that, because that is important. That's the human side. That's the part that affects every single one of us as ordinary human beings, irrespective of where you come from. And for the Palestinians, for the Gazans, that's critical. So when we come back after the break, I'd like us to talk about that a little bit more. Okay, we'll be right back, Lagos, after this break. Okay, Lagos, we're back. Welcome back to Borderlines. My special guest is the Palestinian ambassador to Nigeria, Abdullah Abu Shaweh. Your Excellency, before we went on break, I said I wanted you to talk to us more about the fact that 50% of homes in Gaza have been flattened, perhaps even more. And the fact that part of the deal, Israel has insisted that Palestinians cannot go from the south back to the north, yet many of them have their buried, you know, they have their families who have been killed, who need to be buried, and all sorts of other human stuff. Talk to us about that, please.
Again, thank you so much. But before to talk this exact issue, I need to say that history repeated itself once as a tragedy then as a farce. This is how did we articulated it. The same exact history happened to my father, my own father, 75 years ago, when they expelled him, the Israeli Jewish, the Jewish gangs, the military Jewish gangs, the terrorist military Jewish gangs at that time, 1947, 1948, when they expelled my father, and of course, 950,000 Palestinians from their homelands and ethnically expelled them, ethnically cleansed them from their homelands. Then the United Nations, which is the same exact United Nations that created Israel by the resolution 181, adopted another resolution 194 at that time. This resolution called for the return. The right of return for the refugee, my father, my late father himself. But unfortunately, the Israeli at that time completely leveled 531 village and town for the Palestinians so that they did not have anything to back with. And also, they completely denied or completely blocked the return of the refugee at that time. This is the exact history is repeating itself after 75 years. They are completely or nearly completely leveled and changed the landscape of the North Gaza. And now they are pretended and they prevented the Palestinian and they blocked the return of the Palestinian to their to their houses in North Gaza. This is exactly what happened. Why? I'm going to tell you why. It's the same exact Nakba. We call what happened to us in 1948 a Nakba. Nakba means catastrophe, so that they are trying to repeat a Nakba again for the Palestinian, to expel the Palestinian from Gaza. This is not just they are trying. They declare this this policy. They declare it and repeated it day and night. You should leave Gaza and you should leave West Bank, so that they are doing their ultimate best to make sure the Palestinian will become expelled. If they will not voluntarily leave Gaza, if they will not by force leave Gaza, they want to make sure with the end of this war that Gaza is unalivable place for anyone, so that you're going to find that they are destroying the hospitals. They are destroying with all the pretext or the argument that they brought about the hospital. It's not true at all. And this is what the former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak 2 days ago in the CNN interview mentioned that we know that and we develop the bankers and the hospitals in Gaza. So that this is very important. So they are trying to destroy all the hospitals, not one or two hospitals. They are destroyed already the universities. And now the schools, the homes, even the sewage water pipes, they are destroying it. So that this means that even if the war comes to its end, this will make Gaza a place not to be, not a livable place. And this will enforce the people by the end of the day to leave Gaza voluntarily. This is the history when we say that it repeated itself. It already repeated itself before our eyes. It already repeating itself on the screen. But unfortunately, again, this is the logic of power, not the power of logic. This is the logic that's supported by the Western country who is barred and complicit on this current textbook genocide against the Palestinian people.
Of course, you're talking about 1948 when, you know, Israel became independent or declared independence and actually pushed out over 700,000.
Because wording have a meaning. Israel was not under the occupied, was not existing at that time to become independent. We gonna be independent when we dismantle this occupation. But to say that Israel was not existent, so that it cannot be independent.
Right. It's very but Israel did declare independence. Israel did important. Declare independence.
When the Jewish gang became had a state,
called Israel. Mm-hmm. This is the exact phrasing. But Israel became independent. This means that Israel was under the occupation, which is not true. At that time, please, but because wording, please.
I get you.
Because wording is very important. How to draft, how to craft the word, how to craft the terminology is very important. And we are a victim of those old terminology as a Palestinian. This is the terminology that we became the ultimate victim of it. Again, just in this specific part, Israel was not existing. There at that time, before May 15, 1948, there were many Jewish terrorist gangs. Okay, according to them, they declare independence, but we cannot accept as a decent people, as a neutral people, to say that they became independent. This at that time, until May 15, they used our passport, our currency, to travel outside Palestine. They used to use our airport, which is now called Ben Gurion Airport. It was called a lit or airport till 1973. This is very important. This is very crucial. Till now, they are using our, and I'm gonna be repeated, our seaport, which is Haifa. Haifa is a pure Arabic word. So that when we say that became independent, it's a completely false and ambiguous terminology.
Declared independence.
Because this is my historical and legal obligation to tell the truth. So thank you so much. I'm back to you.
Okay. So you talked about Al Shifa earlier on. You mentioned the hospitals and the destruction that Israel has done to hospitals during, you know, the bombardment of what, some 7 weeks now. The directors or some of the senior personnel of Al-Shifa has been arrested, including the director of Al-Shifa. What is the status of that? Why do you think Israel had them arrested?
No, the question is why they are insisting on Al-Shifa and other hospitals. I already declared myself and I make it very clear. Al-Shifa, and which is the biggest hospital in the occupied Palestinian territory, and Rantisi and other hospitals is the essential for our life even after the war. So that they want to destroy it. Under Al-Shifa, there is a bunkers. They developed it 50 years and 40 years ago when they were ruling Gaza. This is what Ehud Barak, the former prime minister, mentioned just 3 days ago. And it was his in the CNN, and he triggered a huge uproar and a huge uproar against him among the Israeli leaders and society. So when I say then, why did they arrest the people there or the doctors? They want to squeeze any single information about the fighters, of course, and who came to take a medicine if some of them was injured, and of course they want to make sure that who of the Israeli who was in Gaza and someone of them have need a medicine, they want to know more about this issue. They are searching for any single information to make sure that or to convince the international community that the hospital, the Shifa hospital, was part of Hamas military base. And this is part of their attempt to do so.
And you're saying there is no such thing?
Well, such thing is of what?
That Hamas having a base under Al-Shifa and other hospitals.
Absolutely. It's not only Hamas. They
built the tunnels.
The calendar, except the calendar that he was, and it make a waves of mockery all around the world in the social media, except the calendar that he was pointing towards it and saying this is the name of Hamas and other. Then we discover, when we make a zoom in on it, then we discover this is Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and the this is really unacceptable issue. But again, they cannot and will not approve that Hamas or any military faction using this hospital as a military base.
Okay.
For many reasons. if you want to allow me again.
Go ahead.
They themselves declare that there is a bunker. They know that there is a bunker. So that before they invaded Al-Shifa Hospital, they know because they developed it. They build it.
Yeah. Let's talk about next steps. Let's talk about looking forward. So, as I said, you know, there's an exchange going on and it's lasting for 4 days. 4 days. Is 4 days enough for anything at all, let alone a ceasefire?
No, I think 4 days mean that the families, because I, again, should tackle it from the human perspective. Mm-hmm. The families will try to collect or to contact with each other again, to hug them, each members again, to give them a hug after 48 days of mass slaughtering against the Palestinians. They will give them the ability to bury them, their loved ones. They will give them the ability at least to count how many one still missing, how many one under the rubble. But again, 4 days, this means that every single minute they will start counting after 3 days, whether we will be able to, will continue to be alive or not, after 3 days, after 2 days, after 8 hours, 7 hours. This is the counting. This is a very dangerous issue. This is an unhuman issue. 4 days, what the meaning of 4 days if you did not, God forbid, know that whether you will be alive after 4 days or not alive after 4 days? I'm going to tell you something. My family there in Gaza, my personal family in Gaza there. If I will put myself in their shoes, I will try to pay the last look for any one of my relative, my neighbor, to make sure that it might be the last time that I gonna communicate with them, because after 4 days, no one guarantee or no one will be safe, no one will be secure, no one will be know whether he will survived or became alive after 10 days or for the next truce, so to speak, or the next ceasefire. This is a very important issue. We need to tackle all of these. But if you want to talk about a statistical issue, like how many trucks,
We've dealt with that part. I'm talking about the days. One of the things that Prime Minister Netanyahu said is he's determined to continue the bombardment. He said the war continues after the fourth day. What are your thoughts on that? And do you believe that the war will continue, or is it likely? Is there a possibility that the war can be stopped?
No, it's not a war. If it is a war, it's a war against the Palestinian people, but it's a textbook genocide. It's a slaughtering, mass slaughtering party conducted by the Israeli criminal government, a criminal Israeli occupation army, and completely supported by many Western countries government. This is very important, because just to say war, this means that we are fighting, we have the same equivalent military machines that we are fighting against. This is slaughtering. This is the pure slaughtering. This is the pure pure textbook genocide against Palestinian people. It's very important, again, because wording have a meaning. But yes, he will continue to insist, because he know that if sorry,
it's okay,
if the war come to its end within the next week, this means that there is an investigation community will be established by the Israeli high level, political high level, and he will be part of this. And most probably, he will, for sure, he will lose his seat, his office, of course. But not only, he will be jailed, and we all know, and the Israeli themselves know that this criminal man will be jailed very soon after the so that he did not want to put an end to this slaughtering.
You said he'll be jailed. Are you saying that you have faith in the same international community who you've just said is supporting Israel, to use your word, genocidal actions? Do you have faith that the same international community will actually arrest or level charges against Prime Minister Netanyahu?
Internally. Internally.
In Israel.
He's facing...
In Israel, right? But what about then? Let's put Israel about aside. What about the crimes then that you're saying he's committing against the Palestinian people? What is to happen with that crime? Like you said, genocide.
Yes. First and foremost, of course, we need an independent international community to inquire what happened, because what is happening so far, we know a bit about it. But what is really in Gaza, I'm pretty sure tens of thousands of issues that need to be unfolded, and international community should know about what is exactly happened in Gaza during this 48 days. And I hope that it will be only 48 days, so that we need an independent international inquiry committee to investigate every single issue happened since October 6th, not only October 7th. This independent inquiry commission should come with its report. Then upon this report, and after the issuing this report, the international community, if there is a decent international community, and I'm pretty sure, but not, of course, not the Western, the majority of the Western country, of course, the political leader, I mean. We should go to, after the investigation and after the report of the investigation commission, we should go to apply and uphold the international law. And in this case, there we have two type of, or at least two institutions to go to it, which is ICJ, International Criminal Court, and International the International Criminal Court, ICJ, and International Justice Court, something like this. We need to go to
the ICJ.
They should both of them of those international bodies should uphold and stand to apply their charter. This need and a decent international community. This need the double standard to be to come to it is the end. This need the immunity, the unequivocal, unshakable support for the Israeli occupation to come to it is end. The hypocrisy should come to it is end. The international community, in particular Western countries, should stop treating Israel as the spoily and the grumpy teenager. If this happened at that time, we will, all of us, in the South in particular, we, the Palestinian and other Southern country, will be safe. Because
Ambassador, if I may interrupt you. Much as what you said, yes, we've seen it, and you know, you have human rights experts, lawyers who have said Israel, who've accused Israel of committing genocide. However, I have to put it to you, if you believe that Israel should be charged under the ICC, I beg your pardon, International Criminal Court, what then would you say of Hamas, who actually did the attack?
Permit me, sir.
Let me just finish my question. What would you say of Hamas, who actually did the attack on the 7th of October?
We should uphold by the principle. When I say Israel, anyone conducted any criminal or any war crime,
okay,
should be upheld and should go to the hill.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
This is a principle. We cannot differentiate and say no because this is from X country and this is from Y. There is a principle,
yeah.
Any principle, but who's gonna decide who's conducted the war crimes? The international community and I mean the international
criminal court
inquiry commission.
Yeah, okay.
Which should be approved, of course, and established by the human rights council.
Yeah, so
and the United Nations, of course.
Okay, thank you. In spite of Israel's embargo demand that no Palestinian is to return from the south to the north, we do know that some are, you could say rightfully, defying the order and making their way back to the north. And I understand from reports this morning that some have actually been attacked by Israeli soldiers who are staying on the, if you like, on the line of ceasefire. Give us some updates about that, please, sir.
No, the question is when they say that you should leave the north to south, does this mean that the south is safe? No, many tens of thousands of Palestinians was killed in the south. So that if you wanted to kill me by the end of the day, I will be died in my home, but at least with some dignity, because in the schools and where they are overcrowded, each 250 Palestinian using one toilet. This is inhuman. This is again is the human dignity. So if this is the case, I should back, and I'm not safe whether I will be here in the north or the south. So let me back to my home in the north. So it will be at least I will die with some dignity, but I will not die.
Yeah, with 1.5 million people displaced, of course, and, yes, you know, internally displaced who've been pushed to the south, like you rightfully said, it is natural for them to want to move to the north. I want to talk about the human side now, another part of the human side, which is the Palestinians who have been imprisoned in Israeli jails. Or should I say the Palestinians who have been arrested and in prison in Israel, a lot of whom are in the West Bank, a lot of whom were a large percentage, some over 2,000, perhaps 3,000, that have been arrested since October 7th, even though Israel...
2,600,
thank you. Even though Israel claims their fight is with Hamas, and the West Bank isn't under Hamas, yet they're attacking, you know, the raids have gone up three times, four times more. More Palestinians are being arrested. Over 200 have been killed. What do you have to say to that?
No, but not 200 only from October 7th.
From October 7th.
Because again...
No, I said from October 7th. I did say from October 7th.
But I mean that the Israeli propaganda, supported by many Western media outlets, which is completely biased and complicit with the Israeli occupation itself, so that they are trying to make us measuring or thinking that the galaxy itself was created only in October 7th. The galaxy, entire galaxy itself, which is absolutely not true. Only October 6th. It's very important because, again, media is trying, the Western media is shaping and engineering the global consciousness. Your moral duty here as a Nigerian, as an African, as journalist, as a decent journalist, to give us the ability to tell our story.
Absolutely. October 6th.
Thank you so much. I'm pretty sure that you are very decent. October 6th, seven Palestinians was slain. Why? Since the beginning of this year till October 6th, 152 Palestinian was killed. One of them, Mohammed Tamimi, only 2.5 years old. Snipe for fun. You know that
was
know
killed that by a sniper.
The Palestinian used to be killed just to have a photo or a video for their social media. This is factual speaking. I'm not telling you something. Imagine if this is not a Hollywood. This is what happened in Palestine. So that when it came to the Palestinian, we are the ultimate victim long time ago. But again, back to the prisoners issue. No one knew that since 1967. Till today, more than 750,000 Palestinian was jailed in the Israeli prison. Anyone know this information? No one know. No one know.
More than
because they are
since 1967.
Since 1967, 750,000.
Yeah.
750,000 Palestinian was jailed in the Israeli prison.
Yeah.
Till before October 7th. More than 5,000 Palestinians was in the Israeli jail. 300 of them, 300 plus, is the pure children. They used to stand before to a military court. Could you imagine children stand before a military court? This is what is happening in Palestine. Many of them is a women. And all of them was subject to the torture and ill treatment. This is very important. Now they are talking about the hostages. Yes, fair enough. And we want every single hostage in the Israeli jail or in Gaza to back home tonight. It's very human and it's very important.
Okay, we're going on a quick break. Oh, we've still got a minute before my break. But I'm going to put a question to you, at least a situation to you, and I would like you to talk to us about it after the break. Still staying on the subject of Palestinians who are in Israeli prisons. Okay, Israel once exchanged 1,000 Palestinians for one Israeli soldier. In Israel, there are two types of criminal codes. Palestinians are subjected to the military law. Okay, so you have a two-tier system. Palestinians are subjected to the military law, whereas Israelis are subjected to the civic law. I'd like you to talk to us about that when we come back after this break. And
you mean about the apartheid?
Yes, correct.
This is the apartheid.
Correct, correct.
Thank you so much.
Correct. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
no,
we'll be
no,
right
this
back.
Is the apartheid regime.
Indeed.
I will back.
Indeed. Thank you. After this break, we'll be right back, Nigeria. Welcome back to Borderlines. My special guest is Ambassador, the Palestinian Ambassador to Nigeria, Mr. Abdullah Abu Shaweh. Your Excellency, I spoke to you about the two-tier regime. We've got 3 minutes before we go on the news headlines at 5. I'd like you to talk to that, please. Next 3 minutes.
Yes, thank you so much. Indeed, you are talking about the apartheid regime, which is when you talk about two type of course that we subjected as a Palestinian to stand before the military, the Israeli military court, while the same exact person, which is the settlers gangs, whom is conducting tens of thousands of crimes against the Palestinian in a daily pace and before the cameras, supported by also by the Israeli occupation army, they did not go now to the or at least when they used to be jailed or
yes.
in a real condition, mm-hmm. they used to go on the civic in the civic court, which
yes.
is again in a very rare condition, and it should be after a lot of international pressure to take one of them, then they will free him after a while, and there is a lot of examples on that. But the question is, what is type of regime that they are conducting or imposing on the Palestinian? This is a pure apartheid regime. This is not our work. Also, this is what Amnesty and many other watchdog international bodies that talked about the apartheid regime that the Israeli occupation is practicing in the West Bank itself. So that what you are mentioned is rightly located under the wide and big slogan, which is the apartheid regime. And the apartheid, the Israeli apartheid, is a well clear apartheid and occupation, unfortunately.
One of the things, you know, obviously is the young people, the very, very young people that are in Israeli jail.
6 years. One of them is 6 years.
Wow.
I can share with you one of the videos. They are arresting or trying to arrest 6 years old boy.
6 years
yes,
old.
Yes, 6 years.
And
that's
some of whom are actually in jail for throwing stones. Israel has a 20-year sentence for stone throwing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that Palestinian Authority, the government of Palestine, can actually object to this? Because it is an Israeli law, and a lot of these kids are in the West Bank, and they're yes. living under Israeli law.
The only option before the Palestinian today is to throw stones. This is the first intifada, 1987. We used to throw stones on the Israeli vehicle, which is completely, shelled vehicles, which is
armored vehicles.
They expecting us because they're, the Jewish supremacy, they expecting us to welcome their armored vehicle with a red carpet. This is very important. I mean it. Mm. They're expecting us because they are the Jew. They are the chosen people, so that we should, and it's a must, we should welcome them or welcome their armored vehicle with they internally believe of that. This is a belief according to internally entrenched belief on those people to welcome their armored vehicle with the red carpet and their snipers with red roses. This is very important. No, we will not do those. So, and so that the only way is to throw stones. And this is something that we used to do it, and we will continue, of course.
Okay.
To do it for sure, because we will not accept. This is the only way.
Okay, if I may interrupt you, sir.
We are resisting this occupation.
Indeed. I've got a 5 o'clock news headlines. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Borderlines. I've got the ambassador for just another 15 minutes or so. Sir, thank you so much for joining us. We were talking about the kids in Israeli prisons before the break, and the fact that they're in prison and they get sentenced, or the sentence for throwing stones is 20 years. Now, I was watching an interview with Mr. Mustafa Bugatti, and I need you to clear this up, because I do have to say it seemed unbelievable, but so I've got to put it to you. One of the things that Mr. Bugatti said is that when a Palestinian has been sentenced in, can you hear me? Now, okay, you can hear me now, sir.
Yes.
Okay. When a Palestinian has been sentenced and they're in prison and the person dies in prison, in Israeli prison, their bodies are not removed to their families until the end of their prison term, even though they are dead. Is that correct?
Yes. Absolutely correct. And I'm going to tell you just one example. Nasser Abu Hamid from Al-Am'ari camps. He died approximately 1 year ago. His body is still captivated in the Israeli jail till he finished his sentence. Do you want to know how many Palestinian body captivated in the Israeli jail?
Go ahead. Tell us.
More than 300.
Let me just get that clear for my listeners.
Do you know that?
300.
Let me just finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Since October 7th, six Palestinians was killed and assassinated under the killed because of the ill treatment and torture and the Israeli. Until now, they did not free their bodies. Six Palestinians.
So, if I may just get that clear for our listeners, you are saying over 300. Bodies.
Sorry, 450, I think, the last number.
450, yes. Palestinians who are in Israeli jails, who died, their bodies are still with Israel.
Yes, yes.
Because their sentence is not over.
They declared day and night that they're going to use their body as a bargaining chip. Just Google it. Crime, yes? Crime against the humanity. Yes, yes, it's a crime against the humanity. Because those are criminal gangs.
And of these issues, I mean, it might sound like something of a redundant question for you, but I do have to ask, has this been presented? I mean, obviously, 400 bodies isn't since October the 7th. It's been for a long time, for decades. Have this been presented to the UN? And to humanitarian, bodies.
Yes. Not only to the UN and the EU know about it, European Union, and the majority, if not all, the political leaders all around the world know that. Know this practice, know that the Israelis are practicing this crime against the Palestinian body, against the Palestinian dead people. Nasser Abu Hamid had a cancer. We asked them all the people, all the world asked him just to release him, just to have his last breath in his mother, among with his mother hands. But they did not. The last breath, the last hours in his life, they did not accept that. Not only this, they did not accept it and to release his body. Let me just tell you how many the names of the last Palestinian who was killed in the Israeli jail. Omar Daragma, 85 years old. Arafat Hamdan, 25 years old. Majid Zakut, 32 years old. Abdulrahman Mir'i, 33 years old. And Thaer Abu Asab, 38 years old. They killed just during the last month, and their bodies are still captivated.
Wow. You can call, because I have the ambassador here for a few more minutes, 0700-993-993-993. Or you can send your message to WhatsApp on 0809-597-5805, and I'll try and put your questions to him. Questions, please. Or you know the female-only line is 01465-7190. Okay, I have a call. Bear with me, sir. Trying to come to you. Okay. We don't seem to be doing. Hello? Hello? Okay. There seems to be an issue with the line. Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Good evening, Chief Mr. Retibakari.
Good evening, Chief Mister. Your question,
the
please.
Ambassador, good evening, sir.
He can hear you, yeah.
I've been hearing him saying the Western world, right?
Mm-hmm.
This United Nations, the head of the secretary, Guterres, all right?
Mm-hmm. Guterres, what, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what are they doing? Look at the 6-year-old boy. And the dead body, you
yes,
keep them
six,
in your
yes,
chair.
Yes, 6 years.
Oh. Yeah. I'll pass the questions on to you, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
Until they complete the sentence, UN, United Nations, what did they stand for? What are they waiting?
Okay.
I think the Pope is trying to do something, right?
Yeah.
So, sir, please, just try your best and see who and who you can talk to. Let them come for the aid of these Palestinians.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chief Mister. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Oh, yeah, good afternoon. Go ahead. Your name, please, and your question.
I want to ask him a question.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I want to know if he's in support of what Hamas did on October 7th.
Okay.
Going to Israeli territory to kill and slaughter little children and all the civilians, armless civilians.
Okay.
If they went for the military,
okay,
would have been all right. So if he's in support of what happened.
Okay, no. You've asked your question. I'll put it to him. Question.
Of what is happening. If that
question. Happened. When I say question, people, I mean question. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon, or good evening, rather.
Good evening. This is Okechukwu from my place.
Okay, your question, please, Okechukwu.
I want to really find out, the Palestinian, are they a part of the United Nations?
Okay, thank you.
If they're part of the United Nations, who is reporting all these things, the prisoners and all these people that died in the prison, nobody is reporting to them, or are they not investigating all these things?
Okay, thank you.
Against the
thank
Palestinians?
You. Thank you. I can just take one more question because we've got to close in a few minutes. Hello?
Hello, is this okay?
Yes, good afternoon. Your name and your question, please.
Yeah, my name is George.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I think this conversation should have gone past this stage now because we are...
You're not asking a question. You're making a statement. I don't have the time.
I'm going to ask a question.
Please ask your question.
Yes, can you give us updates? Can you tell us what's happening with the exchange of hostages?
We actually talked about that from the beginning of the show. Thank you. Right, sir. Over to you. Can you hear me, Ambassador?
Okay. Four issues.
I would like for you to talk about the next step, please, because we've got like three minutes left.
Yes.
I would like you to talk about the next steps as well.
Regarding the UN, I'm the son of the UN. I spent there 8 years. So that when I mean that the Western country, I know that this body, the UN, especially the Security Council, is a complete paralyzed. Complete paralyzed body, as long as the Western country, on top of that, of course, United States of America, want it to be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. But when they want it to be active, it will be active. But when it came to the Israeli occupation, it is a complete paralyzed. Okay. It's worth nothing, this body.
Okay.
Security Council. When it came to the Israeli Palestinian issue, it's complete paralyzed.
Okay.
This is fair. Support of regarding the Hamas and October 7th, again, back to October 6th, back to 1917, when a bill for, November 2nd, the notorious declaration of Balfour Declaration, 1917. At that time, the United Kingdom itself saw the seeds for the current and the daily massacres against the Palestinian people. This is the root of the issue. But don't, it's again, stress on October 7th. October 7th is part of the history.
Okay.
You cannot isolate and analyze political issue once you isolated it from the historical context.
Okay.
Regarding the what is our position in the United Nations, again, we are observer state.
Okay.
In the United Nations, there are 193 member states and two observer states. One of the observer states, we, the Palestine, and the other one is the Holy See, of course.
Okay. And then I want you to now talk about the way forward, because we've literally got a minute. What is the next step now?
Yes. The next step, how to put an end, how to secure or to guarantee that this will be the last ever war between from the Israeli occupation against the Palestinian people is the peace process, to sit to the negotiation table, the two-state solution, the international law, the adopted UN resolution, all of these tools, all of these instruments in our hands. The question is there a will? Is there a need?
So, sir, if I may close on this.
No, there is no will. Again, the Western country is not intending to put an end to this occupation.
Okay, but I just want to be clear before we close. You are saying the Palestinian people are for the two-state solution. Is that correct?
Ready. Not
you're
not
ready
today.
For it.
You accept it.
Right. Okay.
Yes, when a president, when the chairman Arafat signed Oslo Accord, we accept to build our state in only 22% of our
state. Excellent. Thank you so much. We've run out of time. I've got to have you back. Please make sure you come back. Say yes to come back. We'll be able to have more time to talk. Okay. Thank you very much, Lagos. I'll be right back.